Good morning, everyone. If you would like, go ahead and open your Bibles up to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4 is the passage, a passage that we will be looking at in just a minute. Good to have so many back with us. And it's good to have Ford Ezel back with us. She has had a rough time and been out for a while, so I'm glad that she's feeling well enough to be back. And I was a little concerned because at 3 minutes till time to start, we had a lot out. And y'all must have got stuck behind a tractor or something and had a long line piling in at the last minute. But it's good to see everybody here this morning. For some time, I've tried to make it my practice that the first thing that I do each morning after making my bed is to read my Bible. Get those big rocks in first in the day. And, you know, letting God speak to you first thing in the morning is a good way to start off your day. Even if it's just a short passage, even if it's just, you know, a few verses or a chapter or whatever you can squeeze into that time, it's a good jump start in the right direction as you start off your day. So I've tried to practice that for a long time. But also, typically, shortly thereafter, one of the next things that I do is check my email. Now, I don't really watch the news much or read the news anymore, but if I check my email on my laptop, I have to go to my Yahoo homepage, which has all of the headline news stories. And even though I don't normally read those stories and I don't normally look up those articles, just in the time that I open that page up to be able to click on my inbox, I see those ideas that are planted in that. Now, here I want to share with you the top five headlines from Thursday morning. That's when I was working on this part of this lesson. Here are the top five headlines. Rumors of an affair swirl around GMA co-anchors. Florida quarterback arrested in child porn case. Christine McVie, Fleetwood Mac singer-songwriter, dies. Difficult times for everyone. Layoffs underway at CNN. Sharon Stone goes topless in her last Instagram, celebrating her body at 64. Now, I didn't pick those. Those were the first five that came up on there. Now, the contrast of these two morning activities has not been lost on me. You think about it, just in a few minutes, I'm reading the scripture, I'm opening up and I'm seeing the headlines. The prince of the power of the air, the God of this age, has mustered all of his forces to pollute our minds, to corrupt our thinking with what is false, with what is negative, and what is perverted. I don't think that God, that Satan even tries to hide that anymore. I think that's just a casual observation will let us know that, yes, there are principalities and powers, there are forces at work that are trying to cloud and corrupt our thinking with negativity, with perversion. But when I read the scripture, here's what God says to me. Philippians 4. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, think or meditate on these things. Do you see the contrast there of what the world is asking us to think about and what God is asking us to think about? And I'll tell you, this past year I've become even more aware of how desperately I need this passage. I don't just need to know this passage or to memorize this passage. I need to practice this passage. I need to follow this verse. And it's not just to make me feel better so that I'm more positive and optimistic through the day, but to make me better so that I'm a better person, that I'm the person that God intends for me to be. The Bible tells us that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. even more so than the things that we say and maybe even the actions we do, our thoughts are really what develop us. And they lead to the things that we say and the actions that we take. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's the thinking process. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Notice how it describes what a transformation of mind leads to. Proving what is good and acceptable and perfect in the will of God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 through 24. Put off concerning your former conduct that old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust. There's one category. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind that you put on the new man which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. What God's trying to do is He's trying to change us by what we think about. And so He instructs us to think on these things, meditate on these things. So I've spent a lot of time this past year working on this idea of trying to let this verse shape me. And I'll be honest with you, I've struggled some in trying to find clarity on some of these points because, first of all, we read it and it's easy to get the general concept. The concept is think on good things, not on bad things. But specifically, practically, how does that shake out? What does that look like? And so I want to try to go through, and you know, I'm not huge on defining words. I'm not a Greek scholar or anything, but breaking down and kind of looking at these words and thinking about the definition of these words, what's involved in these terms may be helpful in us being a little bit more specific, being a little bit more practical in what we think about. So bear with me as we go through and we talk about some of these things. And I want to start with the end of this. When Paul says, think on these things or meditate on these things, what's he saying there? This word is actually a term that's used pretty frequently in the Bible. Many times it's translated account. But it has the idea, it comes from an accounting term. It means to count or note, record. And so it's translated in our Bibles, meditate or think or dwell on, consider, regard, or some different words used in that. I like the way it's used in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it's talking about love and it's talking about the characteristics of love. And in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, it says, love does not behave rudely. Love does not seek its own. Love is not provoked. Love thinks no evil. That's our word. Love thinks no evil. If you're reading from the Nelson New King James, you probably have a footnote that says, love takes no account of evil or does not keep an account of evil. And I love that definition because what Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians 13 is love doesn't go around and keep a list of everything that people have done wrong to you. That's not what love holds on to. Love doesn't store those type of things in the mind. Love thinks no evil. It doesn't record or account or dwell on or meditate on the wrong that's been done. So what's Paul saying in Philippians chapter 4 then? The mind doesn't need to hold on and store and record and dwell on and meditate on the things that or offenses to you. What the mind needs to hold on to and record and store and dwell on and meditate on are things that are good. Now, which does your mind gravitate towards? Which is easier for you? To store up and to dwell on offenses to you? Negative, obscene, perverse, or to hold on to the good? That's the challenge before us, and that's the reason why Paul deals with it. And Paul lists six qualities here in this verse that we need to be letting our mind dwell upon. Things that are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, of good report. But that's not an exhaustive list. It's not like only these six things. These are just examples of the type of thoughts that we should be keeping in our mind. And then I think he gives two categories. Anything that would fall into the category of being virtuous, anything that would fall into the category of being praiseworthy, let your mind record these things. Let it lock in on these things, dwell on these things, obsess over these things. So let's break down these categories. And I'll tell you this, there's some fluidity in this, because I may look at one of these qualities and you say, well, I think that would fit better in the category of praiseworthy rather than virtuous. And I don't know that the six things are listed here. I believe two categories are listed. I believe a lot of these six things could fall in either or both categories. But looking at these terms and thinking about what these terms really mean and how to train our minds to notice and to consider and to dwell on these types of things, I think is worth our attention. So, if there's anything that's virtuous, virtuous has the idea of being strong in the quality of being good. It has the idea of strength behind it, but it's strong in good qualities. So sometimes this is translated goodness or uprightness or moral excellence. Here are the three things that I would put in that category that Paul mentions in this verse. Things that are true. Things that are true. Does your mind dwell on truth? There's a lot of falsehood and lies in the world. The devil is the father of lies, and he's working hard to fill the world with lies, and all around us there are false concepts. I think about concepts like this. If I just had more money, I would be happier. That's not true. That's not true. I think that there are plenty of examples to indicate that's not true. But that's a lie that we believe many times, and we fill our mind with that. There's a lot of people walking around, meditating, dwelling on the idea, if I could just make more money, if I just had more money, I would be happy, I would be fulfilled. And they dwell on that, they think about that, and that shapes their life. But that's a lie. Science is going to be able to solve man's greatest needs and problems. That's not true, but many people believe that. And they count on that. They direct their life by that. Truth is relative. That's a lie. But many people make their moral decisions based upon that lie. Satan has filled this world with a lot of false concepts. Let me give you some true concepts to meditate upon. God rules in the kingdoms of men. That's a true concept to meditate upon. We will give an account. That's a true concept to meditate upon. There is hope. That's a true concept that's worthy of meditating on. And while we should meditate on true concepts, let me also say that we should think true thoughts. And the difference that I'm making on this is there are concepts that have to do with maybe our worldview, and then there are also specific things where we think about things, whether they are factual or whether they are fudged. Have you ever found yourself thinking about rehearsing a conversation that you anticipate having with someone, and in that whole conversation, you are thinking about how to word something in such a way that it's not technically a lie, but it's definitely misdirecting them. It's definitely misleading them. It's not true. It's deceptive in nature. But you don't want to just say a bold-faced lie that you may be caught with, and you find yourself dwelling and meditating on, how can I say this in a way so as to leave this impression when you know the truth is really something else? What would God say about that? Did God say, yes, I gave you that gray mush matter inside your skull for that purpose so that you could figure out how you could mislead someone without technically speaking something that was untrue? I think we would say, no, that's not God's intention. And God says, look, meditate on true things. Think on things that are true. So if you ever catch yourself dwelling on concepts that are not true, back up and say, wait a minute, is that the way that really is? Would money really make me happy? And most of us, when we stop and think of it that way, say, no, I know that's not really the answer. Then stop dwelling on that and meditate on what really would be the answer. If you catch yourself wanting to mislead, just go back and say, all right, what are the real facts here? The fact is, I said this, or I did this, or this is the way things are, and this is how that project turned out. And then meditate on speaking the truth, thinking the truth. A lot of people, in their thinking, deceive themselves. They come to believe the lie, and that's really what they're doing. In that rehearsing process, they're trying to convince themselves of the lie so that they can speak in that way. What God says, I want you to speak truth, and where that starts is you think about truth. So think about truth. Dwell on truth. Secondly, whatever things are just, this is what's right. This is what's fair. This is what's righteous. This is the way that God thinks about things. This is that when God says this is the way something is, that's just. Think on those things. What's the right thing to do in this situation? Meditate on that. What's the right way to even think about this? Use your mind in that way. Thirdly, whatever things are lovely. Now, this is one of those terms that I think the definition at least adds a nuance of understanding to it that maybe we wouldn't have from the English translation. Whatever things are lovely. Oh, that's whatever things are pleasant. Well, that's kind of the idea. The Greek word actually means things that are for being friendly. It's pro-friendly. That's the idea. Think on things that are pro-friendly, that would incline you to be friendly towards. I think this concept is in Romans chapter 12, verse 17 and 18. Repay no one evil for evil. All right, somebody does me wrong. What's my inclination towards them now? Is it friendly? No. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all. If it's possible, as much as depends upon you, live peaceably with all men. How do you live peaceably with all men? I remember reading a book one time, and it was talking about salesmanship, and it was talking about technique. And they said, you know, it's very difficult to win the favor of someone if you come in, and in your mind, you think they're a dirty, rotten, sorry, lousy person. That's going to come across. And so what this guy was advocating in his book is before you meet with that client, before you meet with this person that you don't have very good feelings towards, start to think about some positive things about that person. What is it that you can think of that's positive about that person? Well, they're a hard worker. They are a hard worker. And I know they've overcome a lot of obstacles in their life. Find some things that are positive about this person. And then when you're face to face with them, you're more inclined to be friendly towards them because now you've had some level of respect for them in some way. That's kind of the concept here. As much as depends upon you, live peaceably with all people. Well, how do you do that? You learn to develop some respect for them in some way. Well, they're not a very respectable person. Are they a person? They are a person. What does that tell you about them? They're made in God's image. All right, you got one positive right there. Start with that and work on it. It's not the idea that we become oblivious to a person's faults. It's not that we become naive that, hey, this person may really be out to get me. What it is we learn to dwell on what a person has going for them because we really want, we would like to be friends with them. We don't want to be enemies with them. Some people are always looking to be enemies with people, and they find lots of reasons to be enemies with people. If you dwell on that, you'll find reasons to be enemies with everybody. God says, don't think on those things. Think on things that are lovely. Second category that I see here, if anything's praiseworthy, and as I said, you can see how some of these qualities can fit in either category. If anything's praiseworthy, if anything is approved, if anything is worthy of speaking well of, if anything's commendable, think on those things. Boy, here's an area where the news just completely misses this idea, don't they? I listed the top five news stories on my Yahoo homepage. All five of them were negative. Nothing was commendable, worthy of speaking well of, because that doesn't sell. Apparently, people don't like good news stories. They like the tragedy. They like the shock factor. So that's what the news pumps out there. God says, that's not what I want you to be thinking about. I want you to be thinking about things that are praiseworthy. Whatever things are noble. This word that's translated noble in the New King James is only used three other times in the Bible, and it's all in 1 Timothy, and it's all used to talk about godly leaders. It's talked about with deacons and elders and deacons' wives and also older men, that they are to be noble, that they are to be respectable, that they are to be honorable, that they are to be dignified. It's the concept that this is something that's worthy of respecting. Now, since it's only used in the Scripture to talk about leaders, role models, let me ask you this. Who are your role models? Who are the people that you think about, that you're impressed with, that you admire? If we were to look up who's trending on media platforms, we would find a lot of people who are rich, a lot of people who are powerful, a lot of people who are very talented, a lot of people who are beautiful. And a lot of those people would be very ungodly. But those are the role models that much of the world is looking to. They're thinking about. They're concerned about. They're interested in. I wonder what the Kardashians are. Whatever it is. That's their focus. Who's your focus? Who are the role models that you think about? It may be an athlete. It may be a politician. It may be a celebrity, it may be whatever. What is it that is impressive to you about that person? Their ability, their looks, their success. What is it? Is it something worthy of really praising? I'll tell you, there's some very beautiful celebrities. Is the beauty really worth praising and saying, oh, I tell you what, that cosmetic surgery that they've had and that airbrushing, that is lovely. That's wonderful. We should be talking about that. Who are your role models? Who do you think about that is worthy of respect? And I guess I would say this, let your role models be those that are truly worthy of respect, that are godly characters, that have admirable qualities, that you would look at and that you would say, this is a person that I need to be imitating. These people are worthy of imitation. Let me tell you what happens to us when we begin to dwell on role models that are ungodly. Psalm 73, I think, paints the picture very well. Asaph is considering this, and here's what he notices. He says in verse 3, I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Man, these people are fabulously wealthy. Verse 7, they have more than their heart could wish for. Verse 12, behold, these are ungodly and they are always at ease and they increase in their riches. Now, if we're always thinking those type of thoughts, what happens? Asaph goes ahead and describes what happens. I nearly slipped. I nearly fell. Because what I nearly began to think is, well, maybe that's the way I should live my life then. If they're so successful, if things are going so well for them, maybe that's how I should live my life. Maybe I should be boastful. Maybe I should be ungodly. Maybe I should be scrupulous. Maybe I should be selfish. He said, but if I would have continued to think that way, I would have set myself up for destruction. Because the truth is, that's not real success. Learn to dwell on qualities that are admirable, that are praiseworthy. Let your role model be those that are godly people who are worthy of imitation. Note and appreciate noble actions. When someone is loyal, when someone is self-sacrificing, when someone stands for the truth, dwell on these things. Whatever things are pure, these are things that are clean, that are innocent. in examining ourselves externally, when we notice things, do we notice the good? Do we notice the clean? Do we notice the wholesome? Or are we like the world and we're more fascinated by the corrupt and the scandalous and the sleazy? Is that what really we're attracted to more? Internally, examine ourselves and think about, what are my motives in different things? In my acts of charity, are my motives pure? Or am I really wanting recognition? Am I really hoping to get a favor in return? Are my thoughts and my motives and my actions pure with my coworker of the opposite sex? Think on pure things and examine yourself to make sure your thoughts and your motives are pure and that what you're attracted to is pure. Things that are of good report. Now, anything praiseworthy and of good report, this is almost exactly the same idea. That's why I think that maybe this is a quality that fits into the category of praiseworthy. But here's the idea of spreading good news, reporting good things, the events of the day. What can you speak well of that happened to you this past week? What can you say? Hey, let me tell you about this. This was great. This was good. What good news can you spread? What can you compliment somebody on? Think about those qualities in a person. Well, you know what? They are really something admirable, something good, something that you can speak well of. Proverbs 15 and verse 30 says this, a good report makes the bones healthy. I like that. A good report makes the bones healthy. So if I come in and I speak to someone, I'm affecting their bones, so to speak. I'm either building them up, edifying them, making them healthier, or I'm not. So let me run through some exercises for you. What's the first thing you want to share with your spouse or your best friend when you get to see them after the day's activities? What's the first thing you're inclined to tell them about? Let me tell you what rotten sorry thing happened to me today. Or are you more inclined to speak on, let me tell you what good thing happened today? Now you may think, well, there's not much difference in that, but I think there may be. Because that may indicate what we're dwelling more on. Are we dwelling more on the things that are negative? Or are we dwelling more on the things that are positive? Whatever things are of good report, whatever you can speak well of, whatever you can praise, whatever you can say, hey, let me share some good news with you. Dwell, center your attention. Let your mind be recording those things and holding on to those things. And then spread those things. Share those things. I would say this, try to force yourself to note the good experiences of the day. And try to force yourself to share those things first. I say force. I've been working on this, and it's not easy. Not for me, at least. It's not easy. I found that I'm in the habit of noting the negative and proclaiming the negative. So I've tried to force myself, note the positive, and let that be the first thing that you say. There'll be time to say the negative as well, but make sure the focus is on whatever things are of good report. You know what we call people who think on things that are of good report? We call them positive people. We call them optimistic people. We call those kind of people, most of the time, the type of people that we want to be around. Whatever's of good report, dwell on these things. The world is trying to control our thinking. Satan is trying to control our thinking. God is trying to control our thinking. If we let Satan control our thinking, it will destroy our lives and it will destroy our souls. Now, let me break that down. It will destroy your life here. Your days are few and numbered. What a waste to go through focusing on all of the corruption and all the putrid things that Satan would love for you to waste your time dwelling on. God has filled this world with lovely things. Of all people, Christians should be able to recognize the lovely blessings, all good gifts that come from the Father above. Satan would love to ruin your life here by controlling your mind. Secondly, it will destroy your soul, because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. That's what you'll become. And that's exactly what Satan's intending. But that's exactly what God is intending too. And he says, look, I want you thinking on good things, wholesome things, righteous, because that's what you're going to become if you're thinking about that. So tighten up your thinking. Let God give you a thinking plan. And I think Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, not an exhaustive list, but you get the idea. Paul wants us to be thinking about this. In the context of Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, do you know what Paul is dealing with? He's talking about things like rejoice always, and again I say rejoice. He's talking about things like be anxious for nothing. He's talking about things like be filled with gratitude. He's talking about things like, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's the context. That's the sphere that he's dealing with here. And so he says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate, dwell, think on these things. Because as a man thinks, so is he. It'll not just change our experience here on this earth, it'll change who we are. By renewing our minds, we are transformed into a different person, a person who is created according to God in righteousness and true holiness. That's what's at stake here. Now, can we understand why Satan is working so hard to fill our minds with corruption? Because our souls are at stake. Who we are is at stake. And that's why God's working hard too. So the past few months, I've had to do a lot of repenting of stinking thinking. I've got some negative thinking habits that I will be struggling to break for some time probably. And maybe you do too. And maybe you need to repent of those things. Maybe you need to repent of those things that you meditate on and the person that it's making you to be. I've had to do a lot of repenting in this category and have a lot more to do as I continue to try to change in this way. But let's help each other. Of all people in the world that we're going to get any support from on this, it should be from brethren. So let's help each other. And maybe this morning, maybe you need the prayers of this congregation, the encouragement and strength of this congregation. Let that be known. And if specifically we can help you, we will. But even in a broader sense, let's make corrections in our life to follow God's plan. Let's support each other in making those type of corrections. So this morning, if there is some way that we can help you specifically in any spiritual area, let that be known. Come while we stand. Thanks for watching. If you found this video to be beneficial, please follow us on Facebook or subscribe to our YouTube channel. Feel free to share it with others that you feel like may benefit from it. If you need to contact us, please contact us via email at quinn.church@yahoo.com. Also, if you're in the area, we would love for you to come visit with us at one of our assemblies. Have a good day.